Folks, there are so many things I love about this church, one of which is that you are very, very missions-minded. Susan and Matt just shared with you a fun song. No doubt they enjoyed at camp, and they'll be sharing more tonight with the students. They come back from their mission trip, Mission Fuge, over in Virginia here this past week, and I'm anxious to hear from the students. And that's something that, again, we are privileged as believers in Christ Jesus to know that God loves us and wants to use us. And when He does use us, we as a body of Christ, we want to hear about your mission endeavors. So tonight, the students will be sharing their mission stories. But right now, we're privileged to have Ms. Dreema Mace, who just came back from Tanzania, Africa. And I believe you took the penny offering, $777 in pennies and 63 cents, and you're going to show us how all that was used here this time. So show your love here from Ms. Dreema on a return trip from Africa.
Thank you all. Glad to be here to talk to you about it. I'm very thankful for the church for sharing those penny offerings, and I'm going to tell you how important that was. But I also want to thank the Western School of Osteopathic Medicine, where I work, because I run the international student rotation program. And the director there, the president of WSOM, Dr. Jim Nimitz, is a man of God, and so he is very appreciative of the work we do over there. So he allows me, even though he's paying for me to go, to do mission work while I'm there on the weekend. So I really appreciate that about him and about where I work. So this is a picture of me with some children at, so just to set it up, before I left, the school that, the class that Terry and I teach, the second through fifth grade now, we took New Testaments and they wrote messages to the messages of love to the children there, and they made bookmarks and we laminated them, and they spent time, you know, you might say Jesus loves you and have their name on the back. So the children there don't get anything new. So those Bibles are really important to them. And those bookmarks with those messages allowed me to talk to, you know, because I would say, that says Jesus loves you. Do you know who Jesus is? And so it opened up conversation around that. But I wanted to report the $777.63 is 1,767,553 shillings. So the rate of money exchange is very high there, so we were able to do a lot with the money. We had hoped to do some work around water, but we had already resolved that problem. By the time I got there from the work we did last year, there was water in the village that we wanted to get it to. So this is a single mother's daycare there. They have nothing. These children don't have, the parents can't feed, or the mother can't feed them. So they bring them to this daycare, and they keep them while the mother goes and looks for work or tries to find work, you know, on the street selling jewelry and things like that. So with $350 of it, which was $795,550 shillings, we bought a lot of food, diapers. We bought a stroller for the for this. Let's see if this is okay. There we go. And so these are the children looking at the Bibles, and you can see our, like, that's Kate Agyon's name on the back of that. So our children here were able to touch the children there with the Word of God. And so they didn't have, they had all these little babies, and they didn't have any place to put them while they were taking care of the kids outside. So we bought a stroller. We did flour, sugar, rice, beans, cooking oil, diapers, wipes, that will last them for a long time with that kind of money. These are the kids. There's the stroller. And you wouldn't believe how hard it was to find a stroller there because they don't have things like that. So we had to order it and have somebody bring it in. And then we went back later and took that to them. We also then visited AIDS families of children with AIDS. So in this one family in particular, there were five children and both parents, and they all had AIDS. And the dad was in denial about it. The kids had not received any medical care. So I asked our translator, how much does insurance cost here? I mean, he wasn't taking them to the doctor. And they said, you know, they told me when I figured up the exchange rate, it was like just a little less than $100 would buy insurance for seven people to get their health care. So I used our money to do that. So we spent $228 among the families buying them all food, and then we bought the insurance for that one family. So that's going to give to that family for an entire year that they'll be able to go get the health care that they need for those children. And then we did, there's a group, I don't want to get in detail on it because the children are in the room, but anyway, it helps females escape from abuse, young girls. And so we donated $200 to them for the needs of the home and the supplies and the food to feed the girls that they rescue. So that was 454,600 shillings that we did. So we did a lot of good work for our VBS. And so the ladies there who ran the daycare went together. If Donna could come up here, they were so thrilled. Donna. They were so thrilled to have the VBS money that they wanted to thank the VBS director. So a conga is something there that you see my dress, and this is what you see typically, but a conga is a really important piece of clothing to them. You wrap one piece around the bottom and one piece goes on your head or around your shoulders and into the material. And so because of Donna's work as the VBS director, they sent her her two-piece conga, and it says, God is our hope for you. Thank you all.
Everybody's talking about the weather. Let's just go on record saying this. Summer is here. Can I get amen? The National Weather Report I received this week from the National Weather Radar Department here in America estimated that 85% of every city inside of the continental United States, think about this, 85% of the cities in America experienced 90 degrees or more this past week. Think about that. It's hot outside. Aren't you glad you're inside where the air conditioning is nice and cool? No one's complaining today about the air conditioning. Thank God that it's hot outside, it's cooling here, and the love of Jesus Christ still just radiates around this room from boys and girls to our musicians to the handshakes and the hugs. Wow. Friends, it's truly summertime. And we're going to start a new series of going on vacation with the Apostle Paul. What do you mean vacation with the Apostle Paul? He never went on vacation. Well, the Apostle Paul did what I said with the boys and girls. The Apostle Paul, he had a variety of travels. You look at the overhead as well as inside of your bulletin jacket there, you go see first, second, and third journeys of the Apostle Paul and where he went. And not only when is he out enjoying different places in the world, he shared Jesus wherever he went. That's our theme for the next few weeks together before school starts. Wherever you and I go, we can share Jesus. Think about that. You can multiply by dividing. We can divide and conquer. When we leave this place, when we go to Williamsburg, one of the children said, or we go to Virginia Beach, or you go to the mountains, you go to wherever you go, you can take Jesus. You can be missionaries this summer. We don't get a sabbatical. We have friends with us today, right here on the second row. Wave at us right here. Let everybody know. They're camping in the area. They said they came through last year. They were just camping close by. They attended the church and said, wow, that was so good. We wanted to come back and we camp again this year just to visit the church again. So we don't want to disappoint them and look like a church that's dead. We'll be a church that's alive and excited and well and sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Watch this, wherever we go. Think about this. We researched the travels of West Virginians. And the Department of Tourism of West Virginia, as well as the Lewisburg Visitor Center, reports that most of us as West Virginians go on vacation at least one time during the summer. Now, Pam and Kevin just got back from Japan. Not everybody gets a chance to go to Japan or Hawaii, but most West Virginians reported either go to Washington, D.C., Williamsburg, or a favorite beach destination of their choice on the East Coast. Isn't that great? That's where they could go outside the state. But based on the Department of Tourism and right here in our own visitor center, the majority of the West Virginians stay right here in West Virginia. And we enjoy the lakes and the rivers and the mountains and the cool temperatures. Talked to my mother yesterday. It was 99 degrees on her patio in the shade. At 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, it was 99 degrees. It was 126 degrees out in her backyards based on the thermometer. yesterday, it wasn't that hot here in West Virginia. So we were blessed to stay here, enjoy the cooler weather. But if we do travel outside the state, or even you travel inside the state, the theme for the next few weeks is vacationing with God, and with God's agent here being the Apostle Paul. So I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 7, please. Acts chapter 7, we'll use this as introduction to our series of going on vacation with Paul in our travels, going and enjoying the land and the sea and the mountains and the desert, wherever God takes us, but more importantly, taking Jesus with us. Think about this. Thousands of us scatter like loose chickens on this world this summer. This is a missions opportunity for us, Hannah. Think about it. Just when you were traveling across America, I promise when you were traveling across America with your family, you shared your love for Jesus Christ in the Midwest. You may never see those people again. And those of us who are terrified to share their faith in God, this is a perfect opportunity to do so. We still have a few remaining weeks left on this summer. You're probably never going to see these people at Virginia Beach or Myrtle Beach again. You're probably never going to see these people at Dixie Stampede down at Myrtle Beach or wherever in Washington, D.C. Wouldn't it be great if you saddled up beside of somebody there at a restaurant and just said, you know, we're getting ready to pray and you're sitting adjacent from us. Is there anything we can pray for your family about? Wouldn't it be great just to do that? Or you're standing in line at Disney. Isn't that amazing? For an hour and a half for a 30-second ride. And you come home $8,000 broke and you said, boy, that was fun, amen. Or you get go on cruises like our deacon chairman and others do. You go out in the middle of the ocean, you get seasick for 7 days, and you paid for that. Wow, that's exciting. More importantly, when you go out in the middle of the ocean and people are trapped on a boat, when you're standing in line in an arcade or wherever you are, or you're sitting in a restaurant, say, listen, this is a perfect opportunity for me not to vacation away from God, but with God, and just share your love of Jesus Christ. We're being scattered all about. Yesterday we had the fourth annual golf fundraiser for the Mitzi Wings Foundation in honor of a former church member of this church who now is a member of heaven, Butch's daughter. In loving memory not only of her, but they had a memorial section there in the first tee box. When we prayed over this, of all the different people that lost their lives to cancer. And Butch, that was very touching. And Butch, just every golf cart was taken, about $10,000 was raised, he said. Mary, you were there. You were in part of the collection, the smile. She stayed out in the sun and made people feel welcome. Missy rode around, took pictures. And yes, listen to this golfer. She eagled number six. She eagled number six herself. Wow. So with that, I couldn't help but think about how we scatter and go on vacation. This is all introduction. Don't lose sight of this. When we're loading up our cars and our trucks and SUVs, and we're scattering, going to our favorite destination on vacation this summer, can I tell you to take Jesus with you? Can you include him in your trip? Can you make a spot for Jesus in the back of the SUV? Can you take God with you? When we're sitting at the golf tournament and dozens of carts were lined up, and you're going to have the shotgun start. Have you ever played in a golf tournament like this? There's 18 holes on a golf course. And you have hordes of teams there of four starting on a different hole. So when the starter says, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to start right now, all the golf carts just take off and breakneck speed to race to their first hole. It's not hole one, two, or three. It may be hole number 16. And it's like a Chinese roadmap. Just zoom, 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 zoom. And then we sat back and we laughed because our hole was very close to the starting box. But I watched it look like bumblebees just flying all over the place. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Men and women is jumping up and down. The golf carts is going everywhere and clubs flying. They're going everywhere. And I thought, Lord, that's a picture of our theme for the next few weeks. We scatter like that on vacation. So I'm not telling you where to go on vacation. I'm not even going to suggest where to go on vacation. But I will employ you to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, take God with you. You're never going to see these people again. Don't scar your testimony or God's testimony. More importantly, be a positive, Christ-honoring Christian. You may be the only person that talks to them about the Lord this entire year. Wow. The most vilest offender of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was Saul. Don't give up on that person you know that lives in your neighborhood, or may even live underneath the same roof, or your best friend or a lost family member. Don't give up on them. If God can use Saul, He certainly can use these folks. Acts chapter 7, with time remaining, today is more of an introduction to our summer series. Let's begin in verse 54, shall we? This is a stoning of Stephen. Think about this now. The stoning of Stephen, one of the champions of the early church, the first martyr. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They gritted their teeth at him because Stephen was outspoken for Jesus Christ. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up into heaven and he saw the glory of God. Jesus not sitting, but standing on the right hand of God the Father. Put your finger right there in verse 55. Dear friends, that's a great application for us today. A great central truth. When you are in trouble, look up. Look up. When you're in trouble, look up. From whence cometh our help? And that's what Stephen did here. He looked up to God, and Jesus stood in honor of him and said in verse 56, behold, I'm seeing the heavens open and the Son of Man, the Son of God, standing on the right hand of God the Father. Then they cried out with a loud voice. This is the mob of people. Notice this mob, how they rallied together to extinguish, to snuff out this one lonely disciple of Christ. And they covered their ears. They ran upon him with one accord. Oh, how misery loves company. And they cast him out of the city. Verse 58, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was what, class? Saul. He was witness to this. Oh, he is more than just a witness. He's one that was leading the charge. We'll find out about that. And there they stoned Stephen, verse 59, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And that's what he did. He cried out, God, receive my spirit. But verse 60, he did something else very profound that you and I may be challenged to do, we may not be so willing to do, but as a great example of Jesus Christ who laid down his own life, notice what Stephen did in verse 60. And Stephen kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You know what he's saying? Lord, forgive them. They didn't ask for forgiveness, but Stephen said that. So if a mob turns on us, people turn on us, Lord, forgive them. They're just having a bad day. Stephen, don't you understand? Look up this way. Stephen, don't you understand what they're doing to you? You know, when we read in the Bible about stonings, we just think they line a man up, he stands there, and he just takes shots. People just pick up rocks, and they throw rocks at him. First of all, that's not the truth. Most men can't hurl a rock to the point of death. We're not really that accurate. That's not, and also you have to ask yourself, why did the guy, the one that's being charged, why didn't he just walk away? Why didn't he outrun this mob of people? Dear friends, if you study your Bible history and the culture in that day, someone who was stoned, typically it didn't take place inside the city. They took them outside the city walls just so the mob, again, could feed among itself. Now, oftentimes they had a platform built outside there and they would tie the person and shove them off the platform, breaking his body. Then when he's lying there, they then would stone him to death. That wasn't the most common way, though. I remember studying this many years ago. The most common way, they would lead someone gagged and tied outside the city, and they would have a hole there, a cistern, and they would beat up on this person, put him there, and then they would pick up boulders, and then they would crush the body of the person to basically bury the person alive with rocks. Doesn't it break your heart? You know, Hollywood always messes up on this. Of all the Hollywood movies portraying the Bible, and you have someone being stoned, they always show a bunch of men and or men and women picking up rocks and just throwing at somebody. And then the person dies. That's just not true. It was a horrible, horrific type of death. That the person was abused, just like Jesus was before he hung on the cross. And then he, through pain and suffering, witnessed his own death coming. Rocks after rocks, boulder after boulder. This is what Stephen did for us. You think about this. This is what Stephen did for the cause of Jesus Christ. Wow. Let's continue reading. This guy Saul, who not only led the charge, witnesses there. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 8, after Stephen died as a martyr to the cause of Christ, the Bible says he fell asleep. That's as a metaphor for he was dead. Very similar to what Pastor Andrew taught us last week about Lazarus. Verse number 1 of chapter 8, and Saul, who was consenting unto his death. Well, that's an understatement. He really, again, was leading the charge. At that time, there's a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem. They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Listen, the church was being greatly persecuted, but they weren't being smothered. They were being scattered, not smothered. Every time Satan rears his ugly head and he starts to hurt the church and we start to be scattered abroad, we can multiply. We can fortify ourselves. Don't let anybody tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ is dead today. Can I get amen? It's being persecuted all around the world. Of course it is. More people are dying today than ever before. More people today are being martyred and don't even make the back page of the news. More than this day when the church was birthed. And yet, the Church of Jesus Christ being strengthened around this world because of this persecution. Here they're being not smothered, but scattered outside of Galilee. And this devout man, Stephen, was being carried to his burial plot. You see that in verse number 2? And many people were lamenting over him in verse number 2 of chapter 8. And as for Saul, I love this expression in the Bible because it paints a clear picture for us. I remember my Greek professor unpacking this out for us as young preacher boys. He made great havoc of the church. What an understatement that is. He entered into every house, hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. That expression, he made havoc of the church, is a picture of a hawk or a wild boar that you would put in a certain area, and you know what a hog does? He will destroy that area, that parcel of land. You can fence them in, and you've seen farmers do this. They raise hogs, or even where wild boars are multiplying by the thousands down south. It's an epidemic. All the farmers and others, their property is being destroyed. Hogs do nothing but make havoc. They do nothing but destroy. To the point they will kill a tree that's planted in a hog lot. Have you ever noticed that? They will dig up the roots. Well, that's what Saul was trying to do here. He's trying to dig up the roots. And yet God says, no, Saul, I'm going to use you for me and not against me. I want that same energy, that same passion for hurting the church to now lead the church. Think about this, class. The Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary beside the Lord Jesus Christ ever. The Apostle Paul was used of God to plant churches around the world. He truly is known as being the father of foreign missions. Have you ever studied the Pauline epistles, which he wrote, again, of the New Testament, the 27 books in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul wrote 13 of them. This is that same guy who was stoning Stephen, participating in that. What's this? He was born about 2 years after Jesus Christ. Don't you think God knew that? Don't you think God knew after Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born in a manger, that Saul of Tarsus, a spoiled young brat, there's no other way of saying it. He came from a very wealthy, a very educated Hebrew family. At the age of 3, he could read Hebrew fluently. At 3, he went to Hebrew school every single day for hours. What books do you think he studied as a young Hebrew boy? 5 books known as the Torah. The books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible? Moses. And there you find the Mosaic Law. And he was taught from age 3 up that God's law was governing. He wanted nothing to do with this New Testament belief. He wanted nothing to do with this Jesus. There's a great following of people. He wanted nothing to do with this way that now is just growing by leaps and bounds. And by the way, he was obligated. He was obligated to his father and to his Hebrew culture to snuff this out. This is that same Saul we see here, just kind of, we picked into the life of the first stoning of Stephen. This is that same Saul who is doing his very best to uproot, the Bible says here, make havoc in verse number 3 of chapter 8, of the early church. That was his desire. I've already pointed out here, so it's worth saying again, he became God's greatest missionary. But at this point, you didn't think he had a chance. Don't give up on that person you know. Don't give up on that person. Just evil. I mean, just combative. Don't give up on them. They could be one of the greatest generational agents of Jesus Christ that you will ever experience. Well, verse number 4 said, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. What? They didn't give up. The church didn't give up just because somebody threw some rocks at them, just because somebody died, just because this guy Saul, under the authority of the Mosaic Law, comes onto the scene. Huh? A man of Tarsus, a Roman citizen. He carried not only the authority, he had the religious leaders behind him. He said, I'm going to snuff out this New Testament uprising, this following Jesus Christ. Until he was touched by God himself. Where can you see that? Many places, 3 different places in the book of Acts. Let's take a little peek into chapter number 9 here. We're going to hurry. Chapter number 8, you see how the church continued to grow. Basically, it was still there in all of Galilee and the surrounding areas. But God said, we got to go outside the holy city. We got to go outside of Greenbrier County. We've got to go and carry the gospel, all the gospel, to all the world, to all the people. Yes, even when we're on vacation. Wow. Verse 1 of chapter 9, I'll quickly read. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. He was on a mission. He's still not giving up. Stephen wasn't enough. The bloodstains were still on his hands. He still had witnessed. I mean, it was fresh in his mind, but he just couldn't stand this. His passion, his desire was to hurt the New Testament church, and desire to him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found anyone in this way, there's that expression, this way, you find about 5 different times mentioned here in the New Testament, the way, the truth, and life. If you were saved back in the 70s, it's very likely you were taught that. There's a Bible that's given out, actually, to teenagers who were saved back in the 70s. My brother was one of them. I remember him coming home with a book. And it said, the way, and then below it, it said, Bible. Well, I'd seen a Bible before, never really read it, but I'd seen a Bible, and I thought, why are they calling it the way? I thought the Bible was called the Holy Bible. I didn't know. That's the only title I ever saw in a Bible was the Holy Bible. What's this, the way Bible? And I peeked inside, it was the same Bible, it just had a different title. And here's where they borrowed from. You're being persecuted as a teenager. The Church of God is being persecuted, and has been. Prosecuted and persecuted all these years, but Jesus said, don't give up. This way is worth your time. So here he goes, and he requires legal documents to continue persecuting those who follow Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, he desired letters, his documents here, whether again men or women. Wow. You and I know somebody like that. Just a combative, evil person. Doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, he's going to beat up on everybody. He might bound them and bring them into Jerusalem. What is he going to do? He's going to throw them into prison. Or even to the point again with Stephen. Let's stone him to death. But as he journeyed, everyone say that with me, as he journeyed, say it again, as he journeyed, that may be you today. You may be that vile person outside the comfort of God, the heart of God. You may be outside the family of God, just having evil thoughts and just combative and just always angry. No wonder you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart. As you got up this morning today, as you're journeying, you here, and those listening by radio, as you got up today and you got in your car and your truck, just angry, bitter about everything, I'm telling you, you don't have to be that way. You can experience what Saul did. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly God shows up. You see that in verse number 3? God shows up, a light from heaven, and fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, your Bible should be red letter in verse number 4 of chapter 9, Saul, Saul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? Then he said, wait a minute, who are you? Who art thou, Lord? He knew there was a higher power than him. He knew there was a higher power than religion. He knew there was a higher power than a Mosaic law. You must have to be circumcised. You can't do this. You can't do that. You got to dress this way. He knew there's something bigger. So he bowed to the Lordship of Christ. He said, and the Lord said, I am Jesus. You know who I am. I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you. What are you doing kicking at this pricks? What are you doing trying to uproot the gospel? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, he acknowledges Christ as Lord. What wilt thou have me to do? What will you have me do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you go do there. And he did. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose, in verse number 8, arose off the ground there. Remember, he's lying prostrate, the voice of God. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. Again, folks, he was blinded by this. He didn't eat or drink. And verse number 10 is worth pointing out. If you and I are really going to be vacationing with God, we have to take all the gospel to all the people. Amen? So notice with me in verse number 10. And there was a certain disciple, a disciple, that means a student of Christ, of Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? He said, behold, here I am, Lord. What do you have me to do? Verse number 11. I want you to get up, and I want you to go into the city, and you'll reach out to a guy named Saul. Lord, ain't going to happen. I've witnessed this. I'm dodging his rocks right now. I'm dodging his bullets right now. You see that in the Bible anywhere? No. Saul's fame had spread like wildfire among the Christian community. Stay away from this guy. He carries a big stick. He comes under the authority of the religious government. He's the man. Don't upset him. Just stay away from him. Stay out of his path. And now you're asking me to go reach out to him? Lord, did you not see what took place with Stephen? Oh, yeah, that's right. You stood for that. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Verse number 11. Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he praying. He prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias said respectfully in verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints, to your followers there in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest now to bind all them that call upon your name. But the Lord said unto him, go. In verse 15, go now, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Not only the Hebrews, the Gentiles, those who weren't born under the Hebrew covenant, and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must experience. He will suffer for my name's sake. Let's finish on verse 17. and Ananias went. If you don't mind underlining things in your Bible, I certainly would do that. Ananias went, as God said, and entered this house. He put his hands on Saul, not around his neck. They called him Brother Saul. The Lord Jesus that appeared unto you on the way that thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive your sight and be filled with who? With the Holy Ghost of God. And verse number 18 says, immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and Saul received his sight forthwith. Arose and then was baptized or immersed after this. So folks, just realize, we're closing here. Today is introduction. We're going to follow the paths of the Apostle Paul. It's probably been years since you've done it. Certainly has been with me. But think about this. About 3 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the church was growing. And Saul was also growing. He's growing in support of the religious government and also his following, his mob here. The church was growing, but so was Saul. Two main problems. The church was too inward focused. The church wasn't growing globally, worldwide. The church of Jesus Christ in this day, years after Jesus rose from the grave in the holy city, rose from the grave, the church had only grown around Jerusalem. God said, I'm going to stop that. I've got a guy over here who's been prosecuting you, and I'm going to use him for me. So the problem was they were too inward focused. I'm thrilled to be a part of First Fairleigh. Let me say it again. You just heard a report from Tanzania, Africa. Someone who's been there before. She's not the only one that gets to go on a mission trip this summer. We all do. Wherever we go on vacation, or whether you go here in the state, you stay at home, it doesn't matter. You can still take Jesus with you. It's got to be more than our four and no more. If not, we're denying the Great Commission. When Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, we got the going part down. We'll go to the mountains. We'll go to the lakes. We'll go to the rivers. We'll go to the beaches. But I'm asking you again. I'm submitting. I'm committing you. I'm beseeching you in the name of Jesus Christ as with myself. Let's take God with us. Amen. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. The problem was not Saul. The problem was the church wasn't growing like Christ had intended for the church to grow. God's going to use Saul. This is a solution. Satan's number one man being used to advance would be used to advance the spread of Christianity around the world. Indisputably tagged as the greatest missionary next to the Lord Jesus himself. Who would have ever thought it? That Saul could become God's greatest agent. Wow. What else can we learn from this? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm begging you and myself, you and me, let's not give up on that vile person, that evil person we know. God may have plans for them. Let me tell you something I share with the nominating committee in this church often. We're not looking for perfect people because there are no perfect people. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. Let me say it again. God doesn't call the equipped, those who are ready. He equips the call. That's not original with me, but I heard that years and years ago, and I felt so unworthy to ever teach the Word of God in a Sunday school class, to ever work with teenagers, with adults, with senior saints. I felt so unworthy. And God said, Dallas, I'm going to equip you. You're my vessel. I'm calling you so I can equip you. You don't have all the answers. I will equip you as the called. I don't call people who've already arrived. Saul, a vessel of dishonor, was used to God's credit, to God's honor. Where can you and I be used this summer for God? Well, I'm not ready. Good. Good. Let God equip you. God will make you ready. Surrender your heart and your life to Him right now. Trust Him as Lord and Savior. Refresh that spirit within you if you are a Christian. Say, God, here am I. Send me. Use me. Use me. We stand before God, friends, without excuse. I'm not looking up. I don't want you looking up. No raised hands. No running the aisles. Just being serious. We are privileged to be living in this beautiful state, in this glorious country. We have the resources. We have the wherewithal. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the authority, the way, the truth, and the life. My challenge for all of us, with the time remaining this summer, is to take Jesus with us wherever we go. Don't make our vacations all about us. Don't make our time on the river, in the mountains, at the beach, all about us, soaking up everything. If we truly are here to glorify God, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, whatever we do, Paul said to the church at Corinth, do to the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, what a simple message, but what a profound gospel. You use one Saul of Tarsus. It boggles our minds how you converted him to being the greatest missionary ever. He was schooled from the cradle up to be the exact opposite of what you had planned for him, and yet you still prevailed. Dear God, here in this church, as well as in the listening audience, there may be other people who are kicking at the goads, who are uprooting the good of the gospel. God, reach them as you did with Saul. Touch them unto salvation. Make them ambassadors and apostles for Jesus Christ. Use them, Almighty God. We got to get serious about this. Use all of us when we leave this place, when we go away on motorcycle outings, or we load up our SUVs, or we get on a boat and go on a cruise, or on a train and go on a ride. We don't have to drive to sit back on a train. God, where we go, whatever our vehicle is, may you, your Holy Spirit, be guiding us and empowering us and using us. Help us not to be selfish Christians. Wow. But to share the gospel wherever we go. Thank you for the likes of Paul, that we can trace his steps and see how he now was being persecuted. All the persecutor was now being persecuted himself, and yet he didn't give up. May we do likewise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and Father, three in one. We love you, and we turn you loose now. In your holy name we pray, and all of God's children said,